And now, The Low Post.
Welcome to The Low Post Podcast, live from an undisclosed location in Los Angeles, California, where I am thrilled to be joined by one of my favorite players to watch in the NBA, having a career season so far, Marcus Smart of the Boston Celtics. How you doing?
I'm good. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
We are recording this on a Tuesday afternoon. You sprained your ankle about 24 hours ago. You're fine. You're doing okay, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're tough.
It was a little scary, but I'm all right. It's part of the game, and we got a great training staff here, so they're doing everything they can to make sure I'm ready.
Your defensive versatility has reached a point where you have now referred to yourself as a stretch six, which really, I didn't see that coming. If you had said stretch everything, or I just stretch six is what really makes it. Well, how did you come up with this?
It's funny. It was just a joke. You know, it started with last year's team with Al and Baines. We was just joking around. You know, I was guarding those guys, and I occasionally would guard bigs, and I just started making a joke. I'm a stretch six. Forget a stretch five. I'm a stretch six, and that's what it is. And they loved it, and it just kind of stuck with me.
They tell me, one of the coaches told me today, you know, you guys are very good at the thing where if you switch on defense and there's a little guy guarding a big guy on the post, you'll scram them out. They're like, Marcus is trying to scram out like centers. Like you just scram. Is that true? You're breaking the scheme because you want to grab.
I'm definitely breaking the scheme. And you know, that comes with, a lot of years of, preparing yourself and working and earning that. And my teammates, my coaching staff, they trust me enough to be able to do that. But it is a sight to see when you see a 6'3", 6'4" guard coming over telling a 6'6", 6'7" guy, get out the paint.
Yeah, Jason, get out. Jalen, get
exactly.
out.
Exactly. I got it. This. So it's weird, but, it's something that helps our team, and it's something I'm really good at and I take pride at. So
you are a tenacious defender. You've had, how can I put this? Some frisky physical moments with a lot of players in the NBA. I remember I asked, of all people, Shaquille Harrison this last year, and he gave me a great answer. Have you ever had a player come up to you during a game and be like, dude, can you chill? It's like Wednesday on a back-to-back. You don't have to press me 94 feet. Can you just like give it a little bit of a rest?
Plenty of times, actually.
Really?
I've had quite a few. You know, we'll joke and laugh. They're like, you guard me tonight? And I'm like, yeah, they're like, yeah, all right, here we go. Just relax. This is my off night. Like, just let me live. And, it speaks volumes. It's a compliment to me and the work that I've put in on that end where, guys acknowledge and see that I am such a good defender that to the point where they don't want me to guard them anymore.
You must know it's over. When someone asks you that, you must know, like, this guy's about to have a bad night.
Oh, yeah. I'm, that's part of the game. You know, I could tell you right then and there that I'm going to win this matchup just for the simple fact that you just basically told me you're scared of me right now. And that's what I got from that. And I'm going to use it to my advantage.
So you guys are, as we're recording this, you guys are, I believe, 11-2. I think you have the number two offense in the NBA, which I did not expect. I expect you to be decent, but number two in the NBA, I think behind the Wizards, which I really did not expect.
Right.
So I was looking at some numbers, just surface level numbers, because what everyone's going to want to blame everything on this year, right? Kyrie's gone, Kemba's here, chemistry's better, yada, yada, yada. Time of possession, Kyrie, Kemba, about the same. Total passes for the team, about the same. Assist rate, like percentage of baskets that come with assists, about the same. But the results are better. And I'm watching your games, like something is clicking that wasn't clicking last year. So you're on the team. Like what's different?
It's just fun for us. I think it was hard for everybody last year, including myself. I was dealing with my mom's passing. And everybody had their own little individual things that they were dealing with that when it came to the team, it was like, I got more things very stressed about that I need to be focused on right now individually that the team kind of got put in the back shadow and it affected us. Now, everybody's just mind is free. Everybody's confident. Everybody believes more in themselves and we're just having fun again, whatever anybody individually was working on, instead of holding it in, we're now even talking to each other about it. We couldn't do that last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Just
for the simple fact, you didn't know what anybody was going through. You was afraid to talk. You didn't know how to talk to anybody. Growing up as a young man, you always talk, you don't want to show your emotions. You don't want to cry. And it's this stigma on it that, as a man, you're supposed to be manly. And crying is not manly. Talking about your feelings is not manly. When, that's not true. That hurts. It hurts you in the long run, and mental health is a big issue in a lot of sports. And that was what's going on. You know, everybody was afraid to talk to one another because one, we didn't know how. Two, we didn't know if this person we were talking to was going to understand or if they were willing to understand. And instead of putting ourselves out there, we just decided to hold it in.
What changed other than, and I think you had a very good relationship with Kyrie. You've talked about that. So obviously you're not going to pin it on him. So like what, why is everyone comfortable having those conversations now and they weren't last year?
I think last year just opened our eyes to, you know, the outcome of holding all that pent up aggression or whatever you're going through inside that it doesn't work for us. It's only going to bring us down and everyone hated feeling down, you know, and, I'm cool with Kyrie. I'm still cool with Kyrie, you know, everybody on his team, you know, as a friend, as a basketball, Kyrie's a great person. Kyrie had issues. We know just like every last one of us. Kyrie had to go through some things that he's never been through alone and he had to deal with it. You know, he didn't know how to deal with it. It was his first time being, having his own team, not being with LeBron, not having somebody who's been bombarded with that things and know what to say, what to do and how to do it and when to do it. He had to deal with that on his own, just like everybody else. And that affected him as well.
When did you know he was leaving? When did you know, not like when did you learn? Like when did you know in your heart this isn't going to look the same next season?
Probably after the first game against Milwaukee in the playoffs. That second game,
the very first loss.
I kind of had a feeling that some things were going to be changed. I didn't know exactly what those things were, or who or where it's going to be where, but I knew some things weren't going to be the change. We're going to change and weren't going to be the same. And a lot of people look at that as, oh, that's a bad thing. Change is not necessarily always bad, you know. So I didn't look at it as a bad thing. I just looked at it for a opportunity for us as a team, as an organization, as us individually to find out truly what we need to do to feel happy again.
There were rumblings in the media all of last year that were curious to me, that part of all of the issues dogging your team last year. And by the way, I've never been more wrong about a team than I was about you guys last year. I thought you guys were going to be a 60-win team. I picked you to make the finals. I just thought, based on what you had done the year before without Gordon and Kyrie, like I was dead, dead wrong. But there kept being these rumblings of part of what's going on is that Brad is force-feeding Gordon touches and Gordon's not ready because he's coming off an injury, and that's creating resentment among the guys who were there for that playoff run. They're like, these are our touches, like what's happening, this guy's not playing as well as that. Was any of that real, or was it ever spoken about, or was that, or were people just connecting dots?
I think a little bit of both. It wasn't so much that we were mad or they were mad or anybody was mad, yeah, that he was force feeding Gordon. It was, we wanted Gordon to do so damn well that it hurt us to see him struggling the way he did. And when you go to war with guys and you see a guy go through something like that and the injury on his side and you see him forcing his way back and trying to play, knowing he's not 100% healthy, you got to tip your hat off. You got to. And unfortunately for us, it hurt us because, like you said, Gordon wasn't 100%. But we wanted him to do so bad that including us, not just Brad, were Gordon, let's go. Like, come on. We were forcing him to do some things that he probably wasn't quite as confident as he is now to do. And you know, and it's all out of love. It was nothing else. It was no malice, no spite behind it. It's we really want to see him do great coming back from that injury. And we put a lot of pressure on him that he probably wasn't ready for.
Can you believe he broke his hand the other, like, a week and a half ago in San Antonio?
No, when he actually got hurt, I seen his face, and immediately I was like, something's wrong.
Really?
I've been there.
Well, he went right to the locker room.
I've been there. And then I talked to him. He told me he heard it popping and everything. I said, dang. I said, it's just bad. He cannot get a break. You know, he went through that catastrophic injury with his ankle, and he's playing the best basketball of his career. He's getting back into the group, and then a hand injury comes in. It's just like, I've been there. I understand. I haven't been in the type of injury that he's had, but I've torn my oblique. I've dislocated my fingers. I've shattered my hand. So
Was it in this hotel?
No. It wasn't in this hotel.
It was in LA though, right?
It was in LA, but it wasn't in this hotel. So I felt for him and we all felt for him. You know, we were finally seeing the Gordon that we knew he could be. He just bad timing again for him. And you know, but at least this time, it's nothing as serious as the ankle, and he's going to be back in, and it's his non-shooting hand. So that's another great thing. You know, mine was worse, was my shooting hand. So that was a little bit more tough for me with the thumb and everything, but his confidence is high. And like I said, we're just waiting for his arrival comeback.
It was a picture frame, right?
It's a picture frame. Yes.
Someone told me, I don't exactly know the mechanics of it. Someone told me if that glass or whatever goes in and it's an eighth of an inch the other way, you're talking about like a really tendon, like a really catastrophic injury.
Oh yeah.
Like a year away.
To be honest, what the doctor told me as they're taking out this glass, I actually still have the glass somewhere saved.
Do you really?
Yeah. To remind me each and every day how blessed I am to still be playing. The doctor actually told me, like you said, an eighth of an inch away, I probably might not be playing basketball again for the rest of my life.
The rest of your life?
Yeah, they said it would have tore everything in my hand.
Holy smokes.
It was a pretty thick amount of glass that came out of my hand. I couldn't believe it once I'm looking at them opening up my hand and taking out glass. And I actually still have pieces of glass stuck in my hand now that they said will probably be more of a threat of them trying to go and getting it than just letting it be in my hand.
You just got glass everywhere. Yeah. Be careful.
Exactly.
What actually makes a better toothbrush? Industrial strength power, claims of miraculous, trendy ingredients, multiple modes? If you ask your dentist, they'll tell you it's less about the brush and more about how you use it. That's why Quip was created by dentists and product designers to focus on what actually matters for your oral health. Healthier habits. Quip's sensitive vibrations with a built-in timer guide gentle brushing for the dentist. Recommended 2 minutes with 30-second pulses, ensuring an even clean so you don't over-clean one side and under-clean the other side of your mouth. Quip automatically delivers brush heads to you every 3 months so all the bristles are clean and right on schedule. The sleek, intuitive design is simple to use. Comes with a travel cap that doubles as a mirror. Hey, that's handy. Thoughtful features make brushing something you actually want to do every day. Good habits matter to live a healthier life, so help form fresh oral health habits with Quip. Quip starts at just $25, way lower than you would think for a high-end electric toothbrush, and you get your first refill pack free at getquip.com/low, my last name, the name of this podcast. It's a simple way to support our show and start brushing better. Get Quip, getquip.com/low, and you get your first refill free. Go right now, getquip.com/low.
I said before the season, so I have the receipts, as the kids say. I've said before the season, I think Boston needs to find a way to start Marcus Smart because he's maybe the best passer on the team. Doesn't need the ball maybe as much as some other guys. And every lineup, you just need a dude who's going to run around and defend everybody and make crazy plays and all that. And then injuries to Jalen and then Gordon, you've started a lot of games and it looks good. But I don't know. Jalen just got a big extension. Gordon is Gordon. Jason is Jason. Everyone's really good. I don't know how you do it, but do you care? Do you want to start?
I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't. I think every person would love to start, you know, especially when you come from being the starter and the star on your prestige teams growing up. Of course you want to start, but for me, it's not so much about starting. It's about winning. If me and the starting lineup is going to help us win, then yeah, I want to be there. If me coming off the bench to help us win, then of course I want to do it to help us win. But I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to start.
What do you remember when you think of Game 7 against Cleveland, 2018, the year you're not supposed to be there? The year you guys almost lose to the Bucks in the first round when you missed the first four games of the series? You miss how many threes? Just a lot of threes. The whole team missed a lot of threes. And you almost won the game anyway. What's the flashbulb memory of like the either in that game or the locker room after that game? What are you always going to remember?
For me, I probably have to say it was just how close we were. Think about it. We were one game away from going to the NBA Finals with a team that was not supposed to be there. That's for me, that's the most memorable thing I could think of every time I think of games. We were this close, one game away from dethroning the king in the Eastern Conference and going on to be a team, Cinderella team that wasn't supposed to be there. And to this day, it still haunts me.
What do you remember from the locker room afterwards? Who do you talk to? What does Brad say?
Brad was Brad. Cool, calm, and collective, you know? it's very rare to see Brad upset or engaged in any type of altercation or anything like that. So he came in and You know, he was, you could see the disappointment on his face. He was upset as well. He wanted to be there too, but he does what a great coach is supposed to do. You know, he encouraged us to come back next year to continue to working hard this summer and, well, this past summer. And remember that feeling. So if we ever get in that situation again, we can get over that hump.
Did you expect to be – I mean, it's early. Did you expect to be – because everyone's talking about the East this year. Oh, it's Milwaukee and Philly and then like a bunch of teams. Did you hear that? And did you expect to start off this to be like, no, we're not one of the other teams. We're in the other group.
Oh, definitely. We heard it, especially me, Kimba, Jason, and Jalen. We talked about it at the USA. And, you know, our talks was, you know, we're just going to stay quiet. We're going to let everybody else do the talking for us. We're going to let everybody do the talking against us. We're just going to work hard, do what we're supposed to do in the off season behind closed doors. And when the season starts, we're coming out fire. We're coming out blazing, and we're coming out to prove everybody wrong.
Have you changed your shot at all mechanically? It looks the same to me.
It's the exact same shot.
So what happened?
Just confidence is up. Repetitions is up. I'm getting my reps up every day. And, you know, I'm continuing to just work and just really focus on just shooting the ball. You know, I did a lot of thinking. I'd be lying if I said, you know, I'm hearing, you know, I'm not a great shooter. I've heard that affected me in the past. You know, sometimes my teammates wouldn't pass me the ball. And I probably would think that it was because they probably thinking what everybody else is thinking. He's not that good of a shooter, so do I really want to pass it to him out there? Understandable, but that just gave me more motivation to just keep going.
You've crossed the line for me as just someone watching games where first, 2 years ago, you would notice, wow, they're really not guarding Marcus. They're clogging the lane. Then it would be like, okay, well, that's above the break three. Like, the defense is okay with that. Now you take it, you're like, it looks good. I'm kind of like, think it's going in. Do you think this is sustainable? You're shooting 40%.
I definitely do. And what's funny, I actually heard it. My teammates was talking to me, Rob, Brad Wanamaker, and they were just saying, every time you shoot it this year, we stand up. We thinking it's going in every single time. And you know, that feels good for me. You know, it's a testament to me putting in the work and to really show. Now I'm running down on fast breaks, and they're telling, come get a screen for me so I can shoot the three.
There you go.
So, you know, that's a great feeling. And I think I can sustain it. I believe in myself, and I think I've been showing it each year that I bet on myself, and it's tend to work out every single time.
Can you explain the robes, please? The robes are getting out of control. You got a Versace. Someone said Versace. Puma gave you a custom robe. Robes are meant to be worn like in hotel rooms. You're now turning it into something that is for the public to see. How did this happen?
It was crazy because I actually didn't like to wear robes. I didn't really understand them. I was like, nah, I'm okay. And
didn't understand.
I didn't
robes,
understand. Though. I'm like, yeah, it's the purpose, but. The more and more I would wear a robe, it was actually me being lazy. One day I was put a robe on and forgot that I had it on, decided I'm going to just go to the gym like this and I'm going to just walk outside. Like, it is what it is. I don't care. I'm going to the gym. It's not like I'm going and then people start catching on. They start liking it and they kept telling me to wear it every day. And then wear the robe to the game. You should wear this to the game. Then I wore my first robe to the game. Everybody loved it. And now everybody just, when they see me, they think robe.
I think it's a thing now.
It is. I'm actually getting the training staff. We're going to get robes. I'm getting all those customized Puma robes for us. So when we're doing treatment, we got a little theme with the robes.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
It rang a bell. It didn't ring a bell for me, but when I was talking to someone in the Boston front office who said, you know what, give me some funny Marcus Smart thing. This, and we were doing intel on Marcus in college. One of the things that kept coming back from his friends and his coach is like, great guy, great player, tough as all hell, defends, blah, blah, blah. An absolute slob off the court. Slob. Like clothes everywhere. Pig pen style. Is that still true?
No, it's not even true back then. They just like to say that because I'm a big prankster.
I've heard this.
That's true. I love to play pranks. And it's kind of like if you start a prank war or you joke with me, it's kind of the wrong thing to do because I'm going to make sure I get the laugh last. So a lot of the time it's me leaving stuff like trash or clothes around in their area to let them know that, you know, I mean business. And like I said, I'm the king prankster. So
what's the best prank? What's the best prank in your Celtics tenure?
The best prank in my Celtics tenure. Ooh. That's a good question. Right now, it's the Romeo Langford one.
Chipotle?
I just did the Chipotle. That's probably the best one I have with the Celtics right now.
Describe for people who don't know what that
so,
is.
So, Romeo Langford.
Rookie, poor rookie. Just
poor
trying,
rookie.
Just trying to make his way in the world, you know?
Listen, I went through it. I had to do it. You know, it's nothing. It's funny games. But he came to Chipotle just expecting to get a simple Chipotle burrito, tacos, Chipotle bowl, or whatever he gets. And, you know, they tell him, hey, we have an order here, you know, $4,600 worth of burritos.
$4,600
worth of burritos, tacos. Oh, yeah, and by the way, Marcus Smart called it in. Do you know who Marcus Smart is? He was like, yeah, that's my teammate. That's something he would do. And they was like, yeah, so you have to pay for it. He said you would pay for it. And he was just like, I mean, I don't even have any money. But yeah, he actually thought about running out. And so I'm watching everything in the back, and he asked for a manager, and I'm the one that comes out. And, you know, you could definitely see a big relief was off his shoulder once he found out it was a prank.
Do you ever feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult on purpose? With millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves there is a better way. You can search for sports, music, comedy, Broadway, whatever. It's got the tickets you're looking for all in one place. Your days of scouring 20 sites on the secondary market are over. SeatGeek pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web, and it rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10. Displays them on a handy-dandy interactive seat map, breaks down all the details. Green dots mean good deals. Red dots, maybe not quite as good. Super easy to use. Every purchase is fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets with confidence. That seems important. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the fastest and easiest way to buy tickets. I've used it for sporting events, Broadway shows, even Hamilton, whatever you could think of. SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first purchase. Hooray! All you need to do is use our promo code. Download the SeatGeek app today and use promo code LOW. That's my last name, the name of this podcast. Bam! $10 off your first purchase. That's promo code LOW, L-O-W-E. $10 off your first purchase.
Have you talked to James Harden ever since the infamous double offensive foul game in Boston? 2 seasons ago now, I think. One of the great all-time Marcus Smart moments.
Every time I see him, you know, me and James are cool. You know, we dap each other up. And, you know, he tells me, you know, how good of a defensive player I am. So to hear that, you know, to get the respect from a guy like him, you know, who's on any given, every given night, not any, every given night, is hard to guard him.
Oh my God, forget it.
It's almost impossible. And you just
When you ask players who's the toughest guy to guard, he's essentially the only answer now.
Yeah, it's so tough. He does a really good job of throwing his body and drawing contact, getting to the line. He does a good job of keeping the defense off balance and getting to where he wants to go. So, but yeah, you know, there's no hard feelings. You know, it's just two competitors going at it. I respect him, he respect me, and when we match up, it's always fun. And he knows just as much as I know that it's going to be a battle every night.
Did you flop a little bit?
No. If you watch it, I actually did not. I was thinking about flopping.
Okay.
And that's the key. I was thinking about flopping. And, you know, James just full out pushed me, you know. And anybody who sees that game and goes, oh, I flopped. And then obviously we know exactly what you watch in games. Obviously you don't know basketball because anytime anybody fully extends their arm into your chest, I think you're going to go down too, especially when all your momentum is going back and he's pushing towards you. And then to do it again right in front of the official, the second time with two hands, once again, my momentum's going back and he's following me and he pushes me. But I didn't need to flop, you know, it was the right call. You know, I'm just glad he didn't flop on me to get the call for offensive.
Do you think Joel Embiid flopped when you shoved him?
Definitely flopped.
You think he did? Because you went flopped. At him. I did. I'm not flopped. Sure he did.
Definitely flopped.
Have you talked to him since then?
Yeah, he knows it. He knows it. Like I said, we're cool. Me and Joel are cool as well.
I don't want you to be cool. I want it to be old school Philly, Boston.
Like, when we step on the court, it is. Okay. But off the court, we're cool. But on the court, he knows the friendly me. That's with anybody. Anytime I got friends, even on Celtics, when we go to practice, like, it's cool. We're friends. We're hanging. But as soon as it's time to play, I'm not your friend. Like, I don't want to laugh with you. I'm not trying to talk to you. I'm trying to kill you. Like,
do you go bench starters in practice right now?
Sometimes we do. And, you know, we mix up the teams and we just try different lineups to see. And sometimes, you know, Brad is a creative guy. You know, when the starters, he feel like the starters aren't doing what we're supposed to be doing, he'll switch up the teams and put certain guys with certain guys to see how they react and see how they'll play with certain guys. But it don't matter who's on my team, who's against me, you know. It's always going to be a battle when we step on the court.
When Joel went at you, he went at you. And you, not only did you not step back, you stepped forward. And, like, Joel is giant. And, like, you didn't care. You were ready.
Always ready. You know, I'm the youngest of four boys. So I've been up against bigger guys. And, you know, so for me, that means nothing. You know, my thing is, especially if we get in a fight or whatever, we get into altercation, you have to, if I lose, you have to see me every day until I win.
Do you want to guard Kyrie when you guys play Brooklyn?
Definitely.
Have you talked to him about it?
No, I haven't.
Any texts?
Nah, we text, but I haven't talked to him about guarding him. I think he kind of already knows. I think he's preparing for that and trying to get ready to see what he's going to do to keep it going against me.
You got to restricted free agency 2 summers ago, re-signed with the Celtics. A couple people told me, like, Marcus, actually, of all our players, I think appreciates the history of the Celtics, what it means to be a Celtic. I think it actually might have been your agent told me this, wanted to be a Celtic. Was it tough to go into free agency, and has it been tough to watch them, like, extend Jalen? They didn't extend you. Is that changed anything for you?
No, it doesn't change anything. I mean, it's tough. You definitely see, you know, especially when you value yourself highly in a certain way, and you know, obviously, at the time, they didn't think you were that valuable or what you thought you were in the market, which is understandable. You know, get it as business. And I think sometimes we get too personal with the business side instead of just let business be business. But like I said, it is what it is. It doesn't change anything. I still want to be a Celtic. I'm happy to be a Celtic. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I chose to be here. And, you know, I'm just going to continue to keep doing and make sure that when I'm up for my next contract, it's time to get what I think I deserve.
Speaking of business, you've seen this now floating around the league, and it got most loudly publicized when Anthony Davis's father went on TV and said, well, you saw how they did Isaiah Thomas. Anthony will never go there. And it's funny to see teams like Houston, the 70 Houston, too. You make a lot of smart trades, and everyone's like, wow, this is a really smart team. They made Danny Ainge is an amazing GM. And then it starts to shift the other way where it's like, well, do they just view players as assets? Do they care about players? Have you heard that from your peers around the league? Have they asked you questions about that? And do you find yourself defending the organization, or is it not something that players talk about?
We talk about it. It's kind of hard not to. You know, everybody talks about it. You know, you're just trying to get the most information and learn more about what, you know, what you're talking about, what you're doing, and just really, you know, expand your knowledge on things. But like I said, it's business. You can't mix business with personal, and we do that too much in sports. And because, you know, think about it, you come from high school, you go 4 years, you play with probably the same group of guys all 4 years. You play summer ball with the same group of guys up until you probably can't play summer ball. Then you go to college and you play with those guys for a couple years. Then you get here, and within 1 year, that team that you were playing with might not be the same team you play with next year.
Not even close.
But
nine new guys.
So coming in as a rookie and early, you still used to the college and high school system where 4 years, 2 or 3 years, I'm playing with these guys for a long time, that you confused and you don't really understand what's going on. And then that's when the personal side kicks into your business side. And that's when you get a lot of problems, and it's kind of hard to differentiate the two. But once you can do that, it's easy. You know, you keep your personal side personal, you keep your business business. But once you start mixing the two, that's when you start getting into some shaky waters.
Did you think you were getting Anthony Davis? Or how do you keep the Anthony Davis stuff from, like, seeping into your locker room? And you make the perfect amount of money to be traded, which I'm sure you know about, right? You're the mid-sized contract. So how do you – A, was Anthony Davis discussed within the team? And B, how was it for you? It's like, because you know when people are going on the trade machine, it's like, oh, Marcus Smart, 12, whatever. It goes right in there.
It wasn't so much talked about amongst players. I don't know what the front office talked about. But we definitely mentioned if we could get Anthony Davis, man, that'd be crazy. That'd be awesome. And definitely, you know, I know, you know, I'm tradable and everything with my contract and everything. But for me, it wasn't so much, am I going to get traded? For me, it was, if I get traded, that's fine. I'm going to just make sure they regret trading me when I go.
I like it. Last one, you still doing yoga? Because I know when you lost a lot of weight, yoga was a big part of it, right?
Yeah, I'm not doing as much, but I'm still am. I actually cut back on yoga and my Muay Thai. I don't do Muay Thai as much anymore either, so. But I still do it here and there. It's just a good way to just, you know, clear your mind and, you know, just clear everything, all the nonsense going around, and just get back focused on what you need to do.
Well, you're playing great. You know, I was watching the Kings game the other night, and Doug Christie, who's the color commentator for them, made a very – literally as you did it, I was thinking about this. He said Marcus Smart's – it's a little thing, but Marcus Smart's extra passing around the perimeter is, like, at another level right now. That's, like, an interesting – that's a skill, right? Like, everyone's focused on playmaking, like pick and roll and playmaking. You're getting the ball, and, like, the ball's out of your hands before it's, like, even in your hands. It's already into the corner or the wing. Like, is that something you worked on? Because it's really been shining through. Like, everyone thinks about your defense and the crazy offensive rebounding, but, like, that kind of stuff really matters.
Oh, it does. It matters in many ways. And one of the ways is I got a good shot, but I turned down my good shot to give Jalen, Kimber, or whoever else, Jason, Gordon, Rob, a greater shot. That just builds confidence for, one, that individual. Two, for the team. Three, it builds this is how we play. So now it's contagious. So now I don't turn down a good shot to give somebody else a great shot. So now they turn down a good shot to give somebody else a great shot, or even me a great shot. Now you're playing great basketball, and now everybody's getting the touches. Everybody's feeling comfortable with themselves. Now everybody's shots are falling because everybody don't touch the ball. Everybody's feeling comfortable. Everybody knows that we're playing for one another. And that's just how it goes.
You want to win Defensive Player of the Year?
I would love to win.
Can a guard win Defensive Player of the Year?
Gary Payton.
I guess you're a stretch six. Stretch six can win.
Gary Payton did it.
That's right.
Gary Payton did it. And, you know, I wanted, you know, and he's one of the greatest defensive players that I think to ever walk this earth and play this game. You know, he made it known for guards to be able to have that stigma as a defensive player and win Defensive Player of the Year. You know, I don't think there's been another guard since him to win it. And I would love to be a guard to win it.
I feel like it's wide open this year. People want to give it to Anthony Davis. Like, we even talked about it on the jump yesterday. Is Anthony Davis the front runner? Because he got to set it. He's spoken into existence like LeVar. Not that he doesn't deserve it. He's a great defensive player, but we'll see. Anyway, Marcus, you got to go. It's been great watching you play this year. It's been fun watching the Celtics exceed my expectations, and we'll hope it keeps up. But thanks for giving us a little time, man.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
The Low Post is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.